This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
Praise God. All right, so this morning we are going to continue with a series that we started a few weeks ago, which is titled Speaking in Tongues. And this is part four. So remember, this is a series that initially started off as a mini-series, but I think those of you who know me already know. If I say mini-series, or this is might be a mini-series, it probably won't, just because, you know, as I prepare and as we go through the weeks, God just lays things on my heart. And, you know, I rather do and obey God and do what He leads me to do than try and just adhere to certain things and be politically correct and, you know, just do this kind of thing. I believe that you understand that it's important for us to be led by the Spirit. Amen. So now in part four, we are going to answer another question. We've already answered our three questions that we aim to answer in the series. But we are going to answer another question today, which is, how do we get filled, or how does one get filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues? So how do we do that? We want to see some practical things. We want to get something that we want to use for ourselves today. And so, you know, not just today, but also to minister to other people. You may already speak in tongues, but this is going to help you not just refresh the truth of God's word in your heart, but also this is going to help us minister to others, share with others, and help them receive the wonderful infilling of the Holy Spirit and also start speaking in tongues. Amen. And so this is more of a practical, hands-on message that I believe will help you. So if you are with us today and you don't yet speak in tongues, stay with us. Or if you haven't, if you're not sure, if you've received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, stay with us. I know that often we say that evidence that you are filled with the Spirit, evidence that you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, which is a second and distinct experience with the Holy Spirit, as we've seen through the series I've shared with you, and I've shown you from Scripture, how, you know, receiving salvation in Jesus, yes, the Holy Spirit makes that possible for us. He comes in us, He's with us. But over and above that, there is another additional experience that we as believers now, God wants us to have, which is the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes, please listen carefully to what I'm saying, because I know that I'm maybe going against the grain of traditional, even traditional charismatic teaching here, but the infilling of the Holy Spirit is often evidenced by speaking in tongues. But we should never ever just say, if you don't speak in tongues, then you are not filled with the Spirit. That would be incorrect to say that to someone. And you know, believe it or not, sadly, in my legalistic days, I used to do that. And I'm going to show you from Scripture today how the infilling of the Holy Spirit is so much more than just tongues. And so, but anyway, let me not run ahead of myself. So let's take a look at our flagship Scripture for this series. And this is from Mark 16, verse 17. Jesus speaking here. And He says this about us who believe, us who are believers. So the only requirement here, if you want to put it that way, is to believe. And He says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And here it is. In My name. Now, you know that means by His authority, by His doing. So it's not based on our merit, on our performance. It's based on what He has done for us. In My name shall they cast out devils. And then watch what He says next. They shall speak with new tongues. New tongues is the reason why, how it's described here, because it is there to let us know that this is something over and above the regular language or languages that we speak. This is something new that comes to us from God. We've already covered that in the series. And so speaking in tongues, we have seen that it is a wonderful, supernatural gift of God, which is given to us by grace. We cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. He gives it to us outside of our merit and performance. And as Jesus said, if you believe, you are pre-qualified by Him because He said, in my name, therefore you are ready to receive. Praise God for that. Praise God for His grace. Amen. So it's a wonderful supernatural gift God gives to us. And He gives it to us for our benefit. It is for us. Why? Because God wants us not only to experience and enjoy a greater quality of life here on the earth, but also He wants us to enjoy a great relationship with Him, because the Holy Spirit helps us do that more so, a deeper relationship with Him. You know, I can liken that, and maybe it's probably not the best example, but to give us an idea, you know, when I first saw Helena, I, as you know my testimony and my story. It was one morning before class started in college, and I was sitting with my friends and just looking around, and I was praying. Just around that time, I was praying that God would show me my wife. I did not want to date. I have never been, as people call, a player or a ladies' man. I never wanted to do that. My mom raised me differently. She raised me to be a one-woman man. She raised me to look for my wife, fall in love with my wife, and marry my wife. And praise God, my Helena is that person. But as you know, that morning, I heard the voice of the Father say, turn to your right. And as I turned to my right, here I saw this beautiful girl. I mean, if you want to know what she looked like, and you know what she looked like, but I'm talking about as a young teen then, she looked like, you know, those 80s movies where we see all those fun, you know, well-dressed and good-looking people. Well, that was her. And so as I turned and I saw her, I knew that God said to me, that's your wife. Now, I hadn't met her. I didn't know who she was. We had cultural differences and all kinds of things. But you know what? God showed her to me, and I was going to trust Him to make a way. Long story short, He made a way for me. Now, but before, when I met her, or when I saw her, and even when I met her, and then when we started dating, you know, we kind of built our relationship. We got to know each other better. But, and I say this without trying to be crude, but we really, really got to know each other after we got married. Why? Because marriage took our relationship into such a deep level, because it's God's design, it's God's plan. You know, and in our society today, and I hope this is not an offensive term to anyone, but you know, people like just shacking up, as the term is used. They like to just live together, not get married. You can never enjoy, you will never experience that deeper level of intimacy, of God's design, unless you do it His way, which is marriage. And so, you know, since we've been married, of course, yeah, we got to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. But more than that, our relationship just developed to the point where we are so bonded. We know exactly what we think. We know exactly what's on our mind. We know exactly what's going on. Sometimes when we're not even near each other, we can sense things about each other, because that's God's design. He says the two shall become one. Amen. And so when you think about just that relationship, and even though that's a human relationship, what the infilling of the Holy Spirit does is He allows us to draw into a deeper relationship with God. This is why God gives us the infilling of the Holy Spirit, not just to enjoy the greater quality of life, but also to enjoy a deeper, more intimate relationship with God the Father. Praise God. Amen. And so those of you who have already received that, you know what I'm talking about. And so, but anyway, so in this series so far, we have answered, as I said earlier, three questions. Firstly, what hinders one from speaking in tongues? People that struggle, people that don't understand, people that have a hard time speaking in tongues. Well, we've covered that in part one. And so if you missed that, I encourage you to go and have a look. And of course, you know, I'm a teacher. Praise God for His anointing of a teacher. I show you everything from the Word of God. And then secondly, the second question we answered is that what is speaking in tongues? So if you're not sure what it is, if you want to just familiarize yourself more, refresh yourself with that, part two would be the one to look at. And then last week, we answered our third question, which is, what is the benefit of speaking in tongues? And we looked at six different things. There's a lot more, but we looked at six different things. Six. I'm counting seven here. Six. Six different things, praise God, as far as what are the benefit, the wonderful things that come with speaking in tongues. So in this series, we're focusing on tongues, but today we want to look at the infilling of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. So that's what we're going to do today. So today we are going to answer the question, how does one get filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues? All right. So remember that tongues is not all there is to the Holy Spirit. If your view of the Holy Spirit is just tongues, well, we are lacking a major revelation there, because tongues is not all there is to the Holy Spirit. Tongues, in actual fact, is something that we get to do as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and as part of that, a part of so much that we get to do by receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit is we start speaking in tongues. And yes, in Scripture, we see oftentimes that when people receive the Holy Spirit, they also spoke in tongues. But it didn't happen every single time. And so this is something we want to clarify and speak about today as well. So the Holy Spirit is way, way, way more than tongues. You know, it would be like someone saying about me, for example, well, you know, Marco Bravo speaks a number of languages, but two of the languages that he speaks is English and Spanish. I also speak Afrikaans. I understand Italian. My dad was Italian. I speak it enough to get by with. But let's just say someone decided to say, Marco Bravo speaks, you know, he's known for speaking Spanish. You know, if you meet Marco Bravo, you're going to know he speaks Spanish. And I mean, it's wonderful. It's a compliment. But ask Helena and my daughter and anyone else who knows me, there is way, 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 way more to me than just speaking Spanish. If that's all you're going to tag on me, sadly, you're really not going to get to know me, and you're going to have a major lacking revelation of who I am. Isn't that so? Because there's more to me than that. And so it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. If all we relate to Him is tongues, we are doing ourselves an injustice as far as understanding the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so let's have a look now. Let's begin to answer that question, which is, how does one receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit and also, you know, and speaking in tongues? So let's begin by having a look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Okay. From the Amplified Translation, this is Jesus speaking now. And he says this, listen carefully. I am sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you. So he's speaking to his disciples here, and he says to them, God promised you something. But notice, he says, my Father. So in other words, your Father has made you a promise, which is the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'll send him upon you. Notice that. But you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed, fully equipped with power from on high. So notice, Jesus here tells his disciples not to go anywhere and not to do anything until they were clothed with the Holy Spirit, or that is, fully equipped with the power of God. Because he uses those words. The Amplified helps us understand from the original. So notice, one of the things we can liken to the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that we get clothed. You know what it's like to put on clothes. It's a similar experience. We sink into those clothes. That's another way you can put that. And then he says, by doing that, you will be fully equipped with the power of God. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have not had that experience, that you're not empowered, but this is talking about something beyond that. So now, for Jesus to tell his disciples that, for him to say, I've called you and I've trained you to go and preach the gospel, to go minister to people by the power of God. But I don't want you doing any of that, and I don't want you going anywhere until you've had this experience with the Holy Spirit. Now, they had already, you know, when that happened, they had already received salvation in Jesus. When that actual, what Jesus said would happen, happened, they actually had already received salvation in Jesus. So he was telling them about another additional experience that they would have, which would feel like they are being clothed. And then what they will see through them is the power of God, which would equip them. And you know, I've had that experience, and I continue to have that experience as far as God equipping me. It is wonderful, praise God. And so that's what Jesus said here. Now, here's the thing. If they needed that experience first, before they did anything or went anywhere, that means that we need that experience as well. Isn't that so? And you know what? This same promise that God gave is a promise that is for us today as well. So we can certainly receive that. Amen. Now, let's have a look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 from the Amplified Translation. So while being together and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but, watch this, to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit not long from now." So notice, once more, you see here what we have just read earlier. We see that the importance of the disciples waiting for God's promise of the Holy Spirit. And notice that Jesus likens that experience to baptism, because he says, you know, you've experienced John's baptism, which was a baptism of repentance, but you will be baptized. You see, that's another way you can describe the infilling, the clothing, the second experience with the Holy Spirit. And it's an experience that, as we have seen here, empowers us and it unites us with the Holy Spirit in a unique and distinct way. And again, Jesus said, "I don't want you doing anything until that happens." And you know, sadly in Christendom today, wherever you have erroneous teaching, wherever you have people that get in the flesh, get carnal, they put on a performance, they put on a show, it's a whole lot of talk, but no real depth and teaching of the word. To me, honestly, and you know, I stand to be corrected, but to me, that is someone who didn't wait for that experience. And so just out of the intellect, out of their emotion, and out of their experience, they are trying to teach supernatural things in a natural way. And so, if he said, "Don't do anything until this happens to you," then the same goes for us. Amen. Why? And so we know that this happened to them. And where it happened to them is which what I was referring earlier, is in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Watch this now. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had come," so this is after Jesus was resurrected and went up to heaven. This is what Jesus was talking about, as we've just read. "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place." This is the 120 in the upper room. "And suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them," watch this, "tongues resembling fire, which were being distributed among them. And they rested on each one," notice, each one, every single person, "because they believed. Of them, as each person received the Holy Spirit." Notice, here are disciples who are already saved. They've already received salvation in Jesus because they all realize what happened through the finished work of the cross. And so this is an additional experience that happens to them. And praise God, because this was the first time, these tongues appeared, and it says that is how they received the Holy Spirit. So you can see it's a second distinct experience. And then in verse 4 it says, "And they were all filled." See that? They were filled. That was the second experience. Watch this. That is, diffused throughout their being. Oh my goodness. That's talking about that clothing. In other words, it went through their entire being, spirit, soul, and body, "with the Holy Spirit, and, notice, and. So first happened the infilling, and in this case, began to speak in other tongues, different languages. Now, as you know, in this specific account, they were speaking in tongues in the heavenly language, but the people around them heard them speak in their native languages because, you know, they were all gathered for the day of Pentecost from all over the world. So there were many people who spoke different languages. So God used that instance to the disciples spoke in tongues, but the people around them heard them in their native tongue. But the disciples were speaking in tongues because they just were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then it says there, as the Spirit was given them the ability to speak out clearly and appropriately. So notice the experience that Jesus spoke about is described here, as we've seen, as the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it says it permeated their entire being, because that's how it feels. And also, after receiving the Holy Spirit, then they spoke in tongues. And of course, those tongues, as I said, were tongues that people around them understood, but they themselves were speaking this supernatural language. You know, it still happens today. And, you know, some preachers, again, will tell you, this died with the apostles. That was a once-off experience. You know, that can never happen again. Well, it's happened. There's record of it everywhere that it has happened and continues to happen. So, you know, what is that? But anyway, so this is what happened there. And so throughout New Testament scripture, we see that those who receive salvation in Jesus also receive the infilling, or you could say the baptism of the Holy Spirit at a different time, or separately, should I say, not necessarily a different time, separately. So there are two different distinct experiences. Now, all right, so how does one then get filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues? Someone may be saying, come on, Apostle Marco, you've said that three times already. Can you start answering the question now? All right, I'll do just that. So we're going to see, and I've looked at this, and scripture shows us three different ways people receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and in most cases, not every case, but in most cases, they start speaking in tongues as evidence. But, you know, and in Christendom, I think we made it a ground rule that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Spirit. That's not true, and I'm going to show you that today. You can be filled with the Spirit, and it may take some time before you speak in tongues, but you will speak in tongues. Now, as I said, in most cases, that happened right away at the same time. But that shouldn't be a thing that we make it a legalistic rule and say, well, you know, sadly, in Christendom, we have this that has caused major divisions because people get legalistic about it. People get, quite frankly, weird about it. And they get judgmental about it. And they say, well, so do you speak in tongues? No. Okay, well, then you're not filled with the Spirit. And then all of a sudden you become a second-class citizen, or they make you feel that way. They make you feel like you're not as spiritual, you're not as whatever before God. And that's not true. That's not true at all. I'm going to show you that today. You know, we need to just stop doing that if that's what we do. People are filled with the Spirit, and maybe, just maybe, struggle for a long time and maybe never really spoke in tongues that they know of. So, but anyway, I don't want to run ahead of myself. I'm going to show you. So here's three ways that we see in Scripture how people receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit and in most cases start speaking in tongues as evidence of that. But it's not the only evidence. And if you look at Scripture, God nowhere says that if you want to know if someone's filled with the Spirit, they have to be speaking in tongues. He doesn't say that. We've made it to say that. People have made it to say that. But God himself didn't do that. So we need to clear that before anything else. So let's have a look at these three ways of how people receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Here's the first one. The first one basically deals with the fact that some receive salvation and the infilling of the Holy Spirit at the same time. In other words, they receive salvation in Jesus, and right after that's happened, they also receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So they have both experiences at that same time. Okay, not at the exact same time, but what I mean is within that time when that happens. Okay, so they have the two experiences in the same situation. Let's have a look at this. Let me show you some scripture to show you that. Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48. And we're reading from the Amplified today, as you've seen. Now, this is to do with Cornelius, who was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jewish person, but, you know, an angel had appeared to him and told him, send for someone to go get a man named Peter, and he will tell you how to receive salvation in Jesus. And so this is what happened. So Cornelius was a God-fearing man, but he had not received salvation in Jesus. So led by the angel, told by the angel, he then sends one of his servants to go and get Peter, so he could preach the gospel to them so they could understand how to receive salvation in Jesus. So this is what happens. So Peter comes along, and now he's sharing the gospel with him. Watch this. While Peter was still speaking these words, so he's sharing the gospel with him, if you look at this whole thing in context, the Holy Spirit, watch this, fell on all those who were listening to the message, confirming God's acceptance of Gentiles. See? So they had, as they were hearing, many of them in their hearts were already receiving salvation in Jesus. They were receiving the message. That's what it says. Verse 45. All the circumcised believers, that's the Jewish believers, who came with Peter were amazed because, watch this, the gift. Notice it's a gift. It's not something you earn or deserve or prove yourself to get. It's a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been, watch this, poured out even on the Gentiles. So they basically saw these people receive salvation in Jesus as they responded to the message about Jesus and the finished work of the cross. And then right after that, in the same time frame, they were also filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured upon them. Watch in verse 46. This is how they knew that. For they heard them talking in unknown tongues, languages, and exalting and magnifying and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone refuse water for these people to be baptized, since they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? Now, let me say something here. Some denominations, some religions tell you, you cannot receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit unless you are baptized in water first. Well, apparently, this didn't happen here. Here they received the infilling first, and then Peter said, by the way, let's baptize them in water too, as a sign of them receiving salvation in Jesus, because that was his way of letting us know that these people had received salvation in Jesus, and so baptism would just be the outward testimony of that. And so, verse 48, and he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's water baptism, not John's baptism, but the new believers' baptism. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. Now, apparently, they wanted to be discipled a little bit. They had questions, and they wanted to know more about what had just happened to them, and they wanted to know more about Jesus and the finished work of the cross. And praise God for that. And so you see here that Cornelius and his entire household received salvation as Peter shared the gospel with them. And then in the same time frame, right after that, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it just so happened that they also started speaking in tongues. And so both happened right after each other, as you see here. And so I personally believe that this is, you know, the case with many. All they need to do is just start speaking in tongues. Because honestly, I've seen that for myself. I mean, I'll share with you real quick, and for time's sake, I'll try and make it as quick as I can. When I was an associate pastor, Helen and I were associate pastors in a large church, a mega church in South Africa. We were given, you know, geographical areas to pastor. And over the years, we pastored a number of different geographical areas. I mean, at one point, Helen and I were responsible for anywhere between 3,500 to 5,000 people just in our region, in our direct care that we were placed under. You know, we had many leaders, we raised up pastors, we raised up lay leaders. But I remember in those early days when we were first given smaller areas, as we were being trained, you know, to become even more efficient pastors, One of the areas that we got to pastor was an area in Johannesburg. I think it's kind of south of Johannesburg, which is called Westbury. And Westbury, anyone, if you mention that to anyone in South Africa, they will tell you that that is a predominantly Muslim populated area. It is probably 90%, maybe it's less now, but at that time it was 90 to 95% Muslim populated. They had a mosque, they observed all their things, they dressed that way. I mean, very few people actually went into that area because they feared that if they were not Muslim, that something would happen to them. And apparently there were some things by some radicals that happened to them. So if you were a Christian, you were definitely not welcome in Westbury. But now here's the beautiful thing. As part of this area that we pastored, there were some of those people who received salvation in Jesus. So they converted. But you know, they still lived in that community. And you know, sometimes it pays not to know too much. And as a young pastor, they couldn't really travel because it was also an area that wasn't really that prosperous. Many of them didn't have vehicles or means to get to the church. And it was a distance from the church. In actual fact, the church had hired a bus or rented a bus to go and get them every Sunday and take them back. And so they so desperately wanted to be a part of the church more and start home groups. And, you know, they wanted to do the membership course and just learn the basic principles of the faith. And so, you know, as a keen pastor, they approached me and they said, "Can't you come to Westbury and teach us, however many nights, however long you want to do it, come and teach us the Bible, come and teach us, you know, the basic courses, the basic tenets of Christianity, the basic faith." And so I was so eager, and I, praise God, and I still am, I said, "Yes, let me do it." And here's what the people who were kind of identified as the leaders of this group, they had said to me, and you know, I didn't catch on at the time, but they had said to me, "Come alone." In other words, don't bring your wife or anyone else. But also, when you are coming, let us know. We know what your car looks like. We will have people right outside the village. It wasn't really a city. It was not the village. It's a town. We'll have someone just right outside the border who will be waiting for you by the road, and they will signal you, and there will be different people who will show you how to, where to drive and how to come in. And then we'll show you where to park your car and then the house where we're going to meet. And so it was always secretive. It was always not really known until that night. And I didn't realize that they were all trying to avoid the Muslim leaders and community from finding out that Christians were meeting there and a Christian pastor was coming to preach the gospel to them. I didn't realize that my life was at risk. I was just excited to share the gospel. So we did that over a 6-week period. I went there once a week, one night a week for 6 weeks. And so they would get me in all in the dark. They would make me park my car behind the house undercover. And then we would have the course and then they would see me all the way out that night. But we had some wonderful, beautiful times. I saw this community grow. I saw more people receive salvation in Jesus. Eventually, we trained them. We raised up pastors. We raised up leaders. It was a thriving community. It still is. It's a thriving. I'm still in touch with some of the people there. One of the pastors, in actual fact, she, you know, on Facebook from time to time, just lets me know how she's doing. But so this is what happened. Now, I remember when we were sharing the basic, you know, just teaching of the gospel, one night specifically, we spoke about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I told them, and there were some people who were not saved, by the way, they had not yet received salvation in Jesus because they were inviting their friends. We grew over that 6-week period. And so I knew that there were people who had not received salvation in Jesus. They were Muslim. That night, I just felt and I just sensed that the Holy Spirit not only wanted me to invite people to receive salvation in Jesus, but also as we were studying, you know, pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I did that. And I did the invitation, asked them to raise their hand so that I would know if there's anyone who's praying and receiving salvation in Jesus. Probably about 40% of the group raised their hands because they had invited so many of them. And so, you know, we prayed and they received salvation in Jesus. And then because of the lesson, you know, I said, "I'm going to now pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit." And so we prayed and we did that. And those who were not yet speaking in tongues began to speak in tongues. They say, I mean, the presence was so tangible in that room, I could hardly stand. And so they received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And you know, amongst those who had just received salvation in Jesus, most of them also received the infilling and started speaking in tongues. Not all of them did, but they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It was beautiful. So I have seen this firsthand for myself. And so praise God for that. So I can tell you that I have been to a Muslim town and I preached the gospel there. We actually had outreaches after that because the community grew and we got a sound system and we just went to one of the open areas and just played Christian music and I preached the message and we did an altar call and it was really awesome just to see these Muslim folks or ex-Muslim folks who received salvation in Jesus. And you know, to this day, they are there, they're radical. It's wonderful. But anyway, so this happened and I've had that experience. So the first way that we see here in Scripture, someone receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit and speaking tongues is when they also receive salvation in Jesus. And as I say, in my opinion, there are more Christians than not who have had this experience. They receive salvation in Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but they don't always speak in tongues because either they just weren't taught enough, they didn't understand enough, or maybe they felt embarrassed or who knows what, maybe just the environment or the reservations. And yet it doesn't mean that they're not filled with the Spirit, but I'm going to show you that in a moment. So that's the first way. The second way that we see some receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit is by the laying on of hands. Now I've done that too. Now let me tell you, there's nothing special about the person who lays hands on you. They are equally special to God as you are. Remember what I say, when it comes to standing at the foot of the cross, we all stand on equal ground. But yes, we respect God's anointed. We respect those he calls into office. Amen. But the point is that, you know, laying on of hands is really just God using you to facilitate someone from receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. It's just God making it easier for them. So he kind of just flows through you and that happens. Let's have a look at this over here. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. Watch this. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria, now remember, these were half-breeds, as they called them. They were half-Jewish, half-Gentile. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted the word of God, in other words, they received salvation in Jesus. Watch what it says next. They sent Peter and John to them, seasoned disciples trained by Jesus himself. They came down and prayed for them, watch this, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So you can see from this, they had already received salvation in Jesus, and the second experience of receiving the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's what they were doing. Verse 16, for he had not yet fallen on any of them. See that? It shows you that it's the second experience. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus as his possession. Then Peter and John, watch this, laid their hands on them one by one, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, oftentimes we see this in churches. We see this, and sadly, some people have taken it to a carnal dimension. And to really, honestly, to me, it borderlines on just this honoring and God and the things of God. But anyway, so notice, they laid hands on each one. And when that happened, they received the Holy Spirit. You see that? So notice, they had received salvation in Jesus, but they were not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. So the apostles, as I said, facilitated them receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit by laying hands on them. We see the same thing, which we're not going to look at today, but I'm going to give you the reference if you want to check it out. We see the same thing in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. Paul has the same experience with 12 believers. You know, he comes across and he says, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we didn't even know about it. Then he shares with them and then he lays his hands on them and they receive and they speak in tongues as well. And so here's another, the second thing we see here, the second way that people receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit is by laying on of hands. So some people receive it. When they receive salvation, they also receive the infilling and they speak with tongues. It doesn't mean that if they don't speak with tongues, they haven't received the infilling. Secondly, we see here that there are those who receive salvation, and then at another time, they have hands laid on them and they receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That, in actual fact, happened with our daughter, Gabriella, Gabby. She was around 8 years old, and you know, this is when I believe she came to the age of understanding, where she really began to understand right from wrong and, you know, the realization of life, if you will. It happens between 8 and 12, different, you know, ages, it's different for different people. But around 8 years old, Gabby reached that point. And so she began to ask questions about salvation in Jesus. She wanted to know, how do I receive salvation in Jesus? So Helena had the wonderful, beautiful experience of sharing the gospel with her and leading her in a prayer. And I mean, it happened. We know that it happened. And after that, you know, I think it was a few days after that or a week. I don't remember. But it wasn't very long after that. You know, she began to ask about the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and specifically speaking in tongues. Because she would see us, you know, pray every day like we do, and she would see us, she would see me speaking in tongues. And so she began to ask about it. So Helena, once more, praise God for homeschooling, and you know, praise God for parents that disciple their kids in the things of God, like my mom did for me. And so Helena then basically began to share, you know, scriptures similar to what we're sharing today with Gabby, as far as, you know, receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and understanding that, you know, you probably will also speak in tongues. And so once she understood it, she asked her questions and she said, okay, I'm ready, 8 years old, I'm ready. So Helena called me and she said, you know, this is what just happened. And I kind of heard a little bit of it. She said, let's lay hands on her so that she would receive the Holy Spirit and then also speak with tongues. So we did that. And we just prayed and said, Father, thank you for filling up with the Spirit. And so Helena and I then began to speak in tongues. Now, I didn't say to her, say this, do this, or this and that. Just in a little bit of time, we sensed the anointing, the presence fall on her, and she on her own began to speak in tongues. And praise God, to me, that is a pivotal point in her life. And I know that to this day, I mean, she prays with us whenever she can and she's available, and she's done that most of her life. She prays with us every single day as we pray for you in tongues. As we speak in tongues, she does that. And I know she does it on her own. Praise God for that. So there's an example of, you know, just laying hands. And so, and I've done it with many people as pastor in, you know, in church and different settings as I've shared with you. So that's the second way, or that we see in scripture, people receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They receive salvation, and then sometime later they receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And in most cases, they also speak in tongues. The third way to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit that we see in Scripture is by simply asking God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. In other words, you could be on your own, or, you know, it's just you and God when you're having quiet time, and you just say, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You don't have to have hands laid on. You don't have to be in a setting where you receive both, or you have received both and you just want to start speaking in tongues. But in this case, you receive it by simply asking God. And so this is why I say we've got to get out of this legalistic way of determining and judging people and saying, well, you know, if you don't do this, then you don't have. No, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is something awesome. We get to speak in tongues as a result of it, but don't just make it about that. And so look at this over here. So some receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit by simply asking God to fill them. That's the third way. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. Watch this. Now, the context is important here, okay? Because oftentimes people that teach wrong, it's because they take scripture out of context. We always have to read everything in context. Amen. So watch this now. Watch the context. So I say, Jesus says to you, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. So he's talking about have a little persistence, have a little consistency in your desire for the things of God. And he says, when it's there, you'll get it. That's in essence what he's saying. He doesn't say maybe, perhaps, if you're good enough. No, he says if you ask, you'll get it. Then in verse 10 he says, for, so that means it's context. For everyone who keeps on asking persistently receives, and he who keeps on seeking persistently finds, and to him who keeps on knocking persistently, the door will be open. See, it's about having that persistence. He's not talking about begging. He's not talking about pleading. He's talking about being persistent. You know, when Gabby was a child and there was something she wanted specifically, she would be persistent about asking and about making, letting us know how much she wanted something. And it worked because we would give in. In most cases, of course. And so this is what he's talking about here. Then in verse 11, he says, what father, notice he's talking about the heart of the father here. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, he will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, that is fallen in nature, he's talking about, that is sinful by nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly father, not your heavenly judge, not your heavenly vindicator, your heavenly father. So he loves you as father. See this as something father does for you. How much more will your heavenly father, watch this, he has the context, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask. In other words, what he is saying is that don't just do it one time, and if you don't get it, make the assumption that God doesn't want you to have it. He says, basically, just sometimes things get in the way, and the enemy doesn't want you to receive it. So he says, just keep on doing it and keep on asking, and you will receive it. In other words, he says, it will happen. And what is it in the context of? The Holy Spirit. In other words, the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that's all you need to do sometimes. We just need to ask God. Amen. And of course, it's Father. So he gives it to us as his children. Just like we who are parents, we know how much we love our children and we'll do anything for them. This is what he's saying here. God is the same for us. Amen. And so we will know that we've received it when at some point, we'll sense it, we'll experience it. But also at some point, I believe, we'll get to speak in tongues. But that doesn't mean that you haven't received it. Amen. I'll give you an example of that, which is Helena, my wife. When we were young married, you know, and as you know, I kind of shared the gospel with her. I mean, she was raised in a Christian home and she had a good understanding. But at some point it came where, you know, we needed to connect on the same level, if you will, as far as where we were with our relationship with God, with our belief and with our commitment to God. And so I know that she had received salvation in Jesus. And, you know, she would see me speak in tongues. She would see the church we would go to, people there speak in tongues. And I would speak to her about it. And she would say, no, you know, to me, it just seems weird. I wasn't raised this way. I'm not familiar with it. She says, I'm not against it. She said, but I don't want anyone else to influence me, including you. I don't want this to come from any person. I want God to do this. If God wants me to have this, if this is God's desire for me, she said it humbly, if this is what God's desire is for me, then he's the one that needs to cause it to happen for me. And so I knew, I mean, you don't want to force someone to do something they don't want to do because it's not going to be real and it's not going to happen. So I just said, okay, that's fine. So I prayed and I said, Lord, you know, that's her desire. She wants to have this experience directly with you and she wants to know that it's from you and not from someone else. And so I remember just saying to her, well, then ask God. She says, I have. And I've asked him. I said, if this is from you, then it's going to happen without any human intervention in there. Because to her, she wanted to know this is from God. And so I remember not long after that, we went on a Sunday to church and we were worshiping, praising God during worship. And all of a sudden, you know, the pastor just kind of felt led to just speak in tongues and pray in tongues just for a little bit. So he told us all just to do that and just pray and just worship God in our heavenly tongue. And as we were doing that, Helena was sitting next to me. The next thing is, I mean, we're all standing raising our hands, and this place is packed. I mean, there's like 3,500 people, maybe more. It's packed. And so we are worshiping God. And the next thing, I hear this little thud, like thup, someone just went down. And I looked and I didn't see Helena next to me anymore. And I saw she was on her chair. She had fallen on her chair and she had her hands raised. Man, I get emotional, not just because she received it, because it's such a wonderful experience. Anyway, so as I look, here she is just speaking in tongues like crazy. And just before that, when we got to church, she said to me, she says, whenever it happens, whenever God does it, I know he's not going to embarrass me. I know it's not going to be embarrassing for me. I know that I'm not going to draw attention to myself. It's just going to happen quietly. She thought it was going to happen, you know, in bed while she went to bed one night or something. Well, yeah, she was speaking loud, speaking clear. It happened all on her own. God touched her all on her own. Why? Because she asked God. And so what I'm saying to you is that, you know, sometimes we just, that's where some people get filled and end up speaking in tongues, is that they just ask God. And you know, quite honestly, we just need to let God be God and let God minister to us. Amen. And so those are wonderful ways of receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence, or should I say with speaking in tongues, is firstly, it can happen at the same time. Secondly, it can happen sometime after receiving salvation in Jesus. Thirdly, we just need to ask God and it will happen. I mean, I can think of another situation of a man who was Portuguese speaking. He spoke very broken English. He worked at the airport. I forget, I think it was as a chef or something. And he had come to church. Someone told him he came. Then he came to our home group when Helena and I were home group leaders. And, you know, he and I developed a friendship. And, you know, because of my Spanish, we could kind of understand each other a little bit and use the words are similar in some way. And so, you know, he got to the point where he wanted the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so he asked me one of our Wednesday nights when we would meet if I could pray for him. So I prayed for him and I laid hands on him. Nothing happened. I mean, when I laid my hands on him, he received the Holy Spirit. I sensed it flow through me and I literally saw him being clothed with the Holy Spirit. But he didn't speak in tongues. So we tried a little harder. We tried some. Eventually I thought, you know, this is going to get carnal. It's going to be uncomfortable. Let's just stop it right here. So I said to him, I said, and he said to me, what happened? Am I not good enough? Does God not love? I said, no, brother. You see, his intellect was getting in the way. And so I guess the issues that he was dealing with as far as inferiority and, you know, because I know his childhood, there wasn't a lot of acceptance for him. So anyway, I just said to him, you know, you've asked God, you've received it. So now when you go to bed tonight, you know, just before you go to bed, just say, Father, I've asked you, and I thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. And he really wanted to speak in tongues. And I said, just ask God to do it for you. And so he left that night a little disappointed, and so was I guess. And so, you know, that was it. Well, 1 o'clock in the morning, our phone rings. And, you know, half asleep, I pick up the phone, and this is still when we had corded phones and no cell phones and that kind of thing. Pick up the phone and I say, hello, still half asleep. It's this man's wife, Tony's wife. I forget her name. And in broken English, also Portuguese speaking, she says, Marco, she says, what did you do to Tony? Tony's going crazy on the bed here. I said, listen. And she puts the phone close to him. And I just hear him speaking in tongues unstoppably. And she says to me that he was shaking, just so moved. That was kind of the similar experience that I saw Helena have. And he was just apparently going, it freaked her out because she didn't really come to our home group. She was kind of resisting a little bit, you know. To her, she had her religion. She was Catholic. And, you know, that's where she was going to stick to. Eventually, she did come to church. She did receive salvation in Jesus. But, you know, so this is when she phones me. And she thinks I've done something to him because he told about what happened, you know, at home group. And so I took some time and I explained it to her. I don't know if she really got it, but she was fine. She said, okay. And I said to her, it's going to stop. Just let it be. It's okay. And, you know, phone me in the morning and let's talk the next day. She said, okay, put the phone down. And of course, anyway, I'll stop right there because we're running out of time. So that was another wonderful experience of someone just asking God and God himself filling them with the Spirit and also causing them to speak in tongues. This is why I say, to me, there are more believers in Christendom, in the church, that have received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They just haven't had the speaking in tongues. And you know, quite honestly, it's a powerful gift, and I strongly recommend it, as we've discussed it in this series. So if for any reason you don't do that just yet, you know, don't doubt, don't think you're not filled with the Spirit, but at the same time, ask God, do what we've seen in Scripture here, and watch. My mom is another one. You know, she received it at church, but she was doubtful, and she felt a little uncomfortable. And then one morning, actually, when she was having a Bible time, she asked God. She phoned me right away, and she was trying to speak to me in Spanish, but couldn't help herself but kick over into tongues, because she was so excited. She wanted to share it with me that she had got it. She was now speaking in tongues. So that was pretty awesome. So, you know, anyway, but praise God. So receiving the Holy Spirit is not just about tongues. We need to understand that. Tongues will come, but don't just conclude that the Holy Spirit is about tongues only. Or make the assumption that you are not filled with the Spirit if you don't yet speak in tongues. Lay it at the Father's feet. Just ask God and you'll see it will happen. I mean, if anything, we just need to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit more and just yield our tongue to Him and ask Him to help us do that. Amen. And so God is good. He will always do it for us. I mean, think of my Gabby. She desired it and we laid hands and she received it. You know, it's just having the heart of a child, like Jesus said, and just not psychoanalyze everything, not overanalyze everything, and just sometimes just trust God and let Him do that for us, and it will happen. Amen. And so if you have not received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. A beautiful journey lies ahead. Amen. Now, you know, I've been asked the question, well, how does it feel when the Holy Spirit fills you, when He comes upon you? For me personally, this is my experience and how other people have described it to me, is that sometimes it feels like hot oil, not harmful, but just beautiful warm oil is being poured over you. You literally feel it just flowing all over you. Other times, it's felt like I've walked into a freezer. I can almost feel the tingles in my fingers and the tips of my nose, wherever they're my ears. It feels like I walk into this beautiful, but it's not cold, it's not harmful. It feels wonderful. Other times, I've just felt this presence on me and my knees feel weak. It feels like they're going to cave in. This is why sometimes people fall, because just the glory, the presence of God is so strong. And so that's how it's felt for me. As far as Tony, this friend that I was telling you about, he told me later, you know, we shared it. He says he was just lying in his bed, and the next thing his eyes opened, he woke up and he felt this presence just go right through him and stay on him. And he began to shake. His body just responded by shaking, and his mouth just started flowing tongues. So there are different ways that this happens. And so I want to encourage you. Now, if you already speak in tongues, praise God. But if you don't, I want to encourage you today. Wherever you're at, ask God. You may already be filled with the Spirit. You just don't speak in tongues yet. Ask God to help you with that. He will do it. Amen. So let me pray for you specifically right now. And I'm going to release the anointing. I may not be there to lay hands on you, but I'm going to release the anointing. Because, you know, God's not limited by technology and airwaves and internet access. No. At the sound of my voice, you can receive it right now. So if you're not sure if you've received the infilling, if you haven't yet been speaking in tongues, I want you to receive it right now. And if you do, just receive a refreshing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you that as we've shared your word, as we've seen your word, I thank you right now for your anointing, your presence, your infilling, Father, to fall upon your people. May they be filled with your Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. There it is. I can sense it. Oh, my Lord, I can sense it. I can sense it flowing now. It's falling upon you. And Father, may they also speak in tongues. If not now, sometime in the hours to come, the days to come, may they, Father, do it. May you, Father, do it for them. In the name of Jesus. Receive it right now, in Jesus' name. If you receive that, won't you say, Amen. What a beautiful presence. I can sense it right now. And you know, oftentimes we remember the first few words, and as we speak, it flows out of us. You know, Ronda sobara shike bresire de kiara gabrasende, sokire de kimara gabrasire de kele de gibreshika brasende. Praise God, praise God. It's just wonderful. And I mean, you know, that's not me putting on. That's just genuinely the Holy Spirit. I can sense it. But He allows us to initiate it. He allows us to start it. And I believe that it's happened for you today. God Himself has done it for you today. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. If you'd like us to help you with that more, feel free to reach out to us. Amen. Praise God, praise God.
We trust you were blessed by this message. For more resources and to support our ministry, please go to redemptioninjesus.com.